Sin sets in motion conditions that are very difficult at the end. I mean, it's hard. Conditions of sin. That's very difficult. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. My name is Rod Hember.
I'm Janice.
And this is Bible Discovery, Lamentations chapter 4. Just a few verses here. And we're going to read this today and understand what Jeremiah is trying to say. And God speaks through him today. It's going to be a very good day. We're going to do that in about 3 minutes' time, so stay there. Corey and Ryan are here. Corey, what's going on?
Today, we are going to be finding a king of Jerusalem in the records of ancient Babylon. Ryan?
Today, I'm going to be talking about the fall of Jerusalem and other tragic events that came on Israel.
All right, very good. Yeah, it's just good, very interesting. Janice?
Today, my segment's called Take Heart.
All right, get your Bible guide out, turn to this page, page 36, and let's look at suffering.
Lamentations 4, 1 through 9. How the gold has become dim. How changed the fine gold. The stones of the sanctuary are scattered at the head of every street. The precious sons of Zion, valuable as fine gold, how they are regarded as clay pots, the work of the hands of the potter. Even the jackals present their breasts to nurse their young, but the daughter of my people is cruel, like ostriches in the wilderness. The tongue of the infant clings to the roof of its mouth for thirst. The young children ask for bread, but no one breaks it for them. Those who ate delicacies are desolate in the streets. Those who were brought up in scarlet embrace ash heaps. The punishment of the iniquity of the daughter of my people is greater than the punishment of the sin of Sodom, which was overthrown in a moment with no hand to help her. Her Nazarites were brighter than snow and whiter than milk. They were more ruddy in body than rubies, like sapphire in their appearance. Now their appearance is blacker than soot. They go unrecognized in the streets. Their skin clings to their bones. It has become as dry as wood. Those slain by the sword are better off than those who die of hunger. For these pine away, stricken for lack of the fruits of the field. Lamentations chapter 4, verses 1 through 9.
Lamentations is the suffering for the loss of Jerusalem. Written by Jeremiah, very, very interesting. And as we focus on this today, Lamentations chapter 4 and 5, that's our reading. And I got to tell you, we're going to focus on chapter 4, 9 verses here. This is really, really important because how someone in the West would define suffering is nothing compared to how someone in North Korea would define suffering. Perhaps there is no greater definition for suffering than the gospel. Jesus Christ, fully God and fully man, came to earth and suffered for our sake. Not because he had done anything wrong, but because we did. Christ suffered and died for our sins. Now, sinlessness and suffering is important because God was sinless and he suffered for our sins. In our material world, we talk about the physical agony of the cross, which indeed was great. And yet the spiritual agony of everyone's sin resting on him all at once was greater than the physical suffering of the crucifixion. Jeremiah defines the spiritual suffering of ancient Israel clearly. It was not the suffering of the cross of Christ, but it was suffering physically and spiritually for their own rebellion. As we read the book of Lamentations, we need to hear what was happening when Christ suffered on the cross. God reconciled us with his own blood through his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, so that we too may have a perfect communion with the Lord forever. This is stunning, absolutely outstanding. And as we focus on this today, we need to think that through, because this is the last day that we'll be on Lamentations. We start Ezekiel on the next program. But what's important to remember is that Lamentations is written for the fall of Jerusalem. And it's a look down. If you could put it this way, it's putting your head down. It's the crying for Jerusalem. But in the crying, there is great truth. Get your Bible guide out. Looks like this. And if you don't have a Bible guide, call us or write to us. We'll send you one, or go to BibleDiscoveryTV.com. Click on it, and it'll take you to a place where you can download it just exactly how we printed it. Father, I pray today as we see the fourth chapter of Lamentations, help us to read and understand it. We're going to look at about 9 verses here, and I pray that you would show us your way and teach us your path. In Jesus' wonderful name. And this is what we said together. Amen and amen. Now look at chapter 4, verse 1. Here's what it says. How is the gold become dim? How the gold has become dim. How changed the fine gold. The stones of the sanctuary are scattered at the head of every street. The precious sons of Zion, value as fine gold, how they are regarded as clay pots, the work of the hands of the potter. Verse 3. Even the jackals present their breasts to nurse their young, but the daughter of my people is cruel, like ostriches in the wilderness. He compares it to ostriches. Very interesting. Verse 4, the tongue of the infant clings to the roof of its mouth for thirst. The young children ask for bread, but no one breaks it for them. Now, this is really important. Sin sets in motion conditions of personal suffering that are horrible. Sin sets in motion conditions of personal suffering that are horrible. Jesus Christ has paid the cost of sins for us. Let me see if I can set this up for you. Sin is horrible. Feels good at first. It's great. We're having a great time. Party, party, party. Until it wears us down and out. Then it's the end. That's it. But when you come to Christ and ask forgiveness of your sin, the Holy Spirit helps you to get over that and to seek God. When you set your mind on things above, Colossians 3, and when you set your mind on things above and focus on God, everything changes, because you're building towards a higher calling of eternity. Very interesting. Look at verse 5. Well, they that did feed, or they who ate delicacies, are desolate in the streets. Those who are brought up in scarlet embrace ash heaps. The punishment of the iniquity of the daughter of my people is greater than the punishment of the sin of Sodom, which was overthrown in a moment with no hand to help her. There is no help or relief from suffering outside of Jesus Christ. There is no help or relief from suffering outside of Jesus Christ. Beloved, we must tell others about what God has done through Jesus Christ. How many times have I been suffering? How many times have I gone through great, deep sorrow? And I said to the Lord, I need you. And somehow the Spirit of God descends. I don't know how, but he does it, and he touches my heart. For 50 years, I've lived this way, and I am more in love with Christ today than I have ever been. Beloved, Jesus Christ is alive, and he's real. Look at the last verse. Her Nazarites, this is important. Her Nazarites were purer than gold, or brighter than the snow, and whiter than milk. They were more ruddy than the body, than rubies, like sapphire in their appearance. Now their appearance is blacker than soot. They go unrecognized in the streets. Their skin clings to their bones. It has become as dry as wood. Those slain by the sword are better off than those who die of hunger, for these pine away, stricken for lack of fruits of the field. The third point, very important. The culture of sin is unquestionably horrible. The culture of sin, unquestionably horrible. We are delivered from sin, praise God, when we come to Jesus Christ as our Lord in repentance. Father, Jesus Christ, I come to you in repentance. And if there are those who want to pray with me, then pray with me right now. Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Help me. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you rose again miraculously. Be the Lord of my life. Come into my heart. Show me my purpose. Everybody has a purpose. Show me my purpose for eternity. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. If you prayed that prayer with me, I want to encourage you. You have a new life in Christ. Begin to read the Bible. Write for a Bible guide. Begin to focus on coming to the Lord and really knowing Him. We are discovering the Bible, the 66 books written by the 40 authors.
I'm going to be focusing in on 1 Samuel 28 and the elements of ancient occult.
Why God ultimately rejected Saul as king.
This is very interesting.
It's critical for us to understand exactly what God has told us in this book.
We need to know the Word of God. We need to put it into our hearts, and we need to live it out.
Stay connected with us beyond the program. Follow Bible Discovery TV on Instagram and Facebook for daily encouragement.
All right, well, it's time now to carry on with our Bible study. And today, what I wanted to do is take a historical journey and explore eight major events which drastically affected the nation of Israel. Now, what do all these events have in common? Well, for one thing, they were all tragedies. But more than that, the tragedies all fell on the same day of the year, which was the 9th of Av. As a matter of fact, one of these tragic events we read about today in our reading, which is the fall of Jerusalem. Now, the question is, could it be mere coincidence that all these events directly affecting the nation of Israel all fell on the same day? You be the judge.
Many proclaim that history belongs to God. History is His story. But does an examination of said history provide evidence for that claim? For many, and particularly the Jews, God can be the only reasonable explanation. That's because a strange and mysterious phenomenon of historical anniversaries has governed the life of the chosen people. Numerous key historical events, in fact, in relation to the nation of Israel, have coincided exactly with particular Jewish festival or fast days which had been previously established by God. Perhaps the strangest of these historical anniversaries is the 9th of Av, a single day on the Jewish calendar on which a series of at least eight national disasters have occurred. Even today, the 9th of Av is a national feast of mourning for the Jews, known as Tisha B'Av. The first in these series of unfortunate events occurred in 1446 BC. The Israelites are in the desert, recently having experienced the miraculous Exodus, and are now poised to enter the Promised Land. But first, they dispatch a reconnaissance mission to assist in formulating a prudent battle strategy. Unfortunately, 10 out of the 12 spies return with a bad report, claiming that the land is unconquerable. For this public demonstration of distrust in His power, God turns their short 40-day reconnaissance mission into a 40 years of wilderness wandering, effectively preventing anyone from that generation, except the two faithful spies, from entering that land. A second tragedy occurred in 589 BC when the Babylonians destroyed the first Jewish temple built by King Solomon. Similarly, just as the Babylonians had destroyed their first temple, the Romans 5 centuries later would destroy their second temple. The date? The 9th of Av, 70 AD, an event foretold nearly 40 years earlier by Jesus Christ. Then, exactly 1 year later, the Roman army plowed with salt the site of the Temple Mount and the whole city as a symbol of Rome's utter defeat of its enemy. A few years after that, when the Jews rebelled against Rome, they believed that their leader, Simon Bar Kokhba, would fulfill their messianic longings. But their hopes were cruelly dashed in AD 133 as the Jewish rebels were brutally butchered in the final battle at Batar, again on the 9th of Av. Over 1,000 years later, tragedy would strike yet again as the ruthless English king Edward I ordered the expulsion of all Jews from the nation in 1290. Following suit just a couple hundred years later, the Spanish government also ordered the expulsion of the Jews. Finally, on the 9th of Av in August 1914, as the Jews fasted and mourned, World War I was declared. Statistically speaking, it is virtually impossible that these 8 specific events would all fall on the very day of the Feast of Mourning by simple happenstance. The only rational explanation is that God indeed is in control of history and is greatly involved with the nation of Israel. Furthermore, this same God will return to his people as their Messiah to set up his long-awaited kingdom, and the fasts and mourning will be turned into feasts of joy.
Now, just in case you're still in doubt that God was involved here, let's just for a minute consider the statistics. The odds of just 3 similar historical events occurring to the same nation on the exact same day is 1 chance in 133,225. But remember, we're not talking about 3 events, we're talking about 8 events. And the odds that all 8 historical events would occur by random chance alone on the 9th of Av, rather than by God's providential design, is equal to 1 chance in 873 quadrillion. So the idea that these events all occurred by random chance is mathematically impossible. History truly is his story, as they say, and it's not over yet, because God's going to return to his people as their Messiah to set up his long-awaited kingdom. And the fasts and the mourning will be turned into feasts of joy for all of us.
Yeah, it's really interesting mathematically to unravel what it takes for a miracle, okay? And it's fascinating. They've done this study, and the last number that you gave, the quadrillion number.
Yeah, 1 chance in 873 quadrillion. Yeah.
That is 4 times higher than it takes for a miracle.
Well, God is a miracle worker, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, what they do is they tend to argue over whether those miracles really took place. But they did. And when you begin to, you know, Ivan Panin did the mathematics on this. And Ivan Panin was just a brilliant guy. And he started off as an atheist and he became a Christian because of the mathematics of the Bible. Mm-hmm. But anyway, he did it and he said, there's no way possible that the numbers can work in the Bible, but they do. And so that's what convinced him. So it's very, very interesting. And one of these days, I'm going to do a thing on Ivan Panin one of these days, because he's really good. He's buried down the road here in Hamilton. But anyway, all right, Corey, go ahead.
All right. Today, we are going to be looking into ancient Babylon's records, because some pretty cool historians have found the name and a record about a king of Jerusalem there in ancient Babylon. Take a look.
The last 5 kings of Jerusalem ruled during the uncertain times of the 7th and 6th centuries BC. The empire of Assyria, along with her ally Egypt, were failing and falling to the ever-growing power of the new Babylonian empire, led by her kings, Nebuchadnezzar and his general son Nebuchadnezzar. By the time Jehoiachin of Jerusalem had risen to the throne, Judah was in a bad state. Forced to become vassals of Babylon years earlier, Jehoiachin's father had rebelled against the empire, inviting open war to the borders of Judah. The Babylonian army advanced and succeeded, defeating Jehoiachin's father Jehoiakim, and allowing Jehoiachin to rule on the throne for a mere 3 months and 10 days before deporting him to Babylon, the same deportation that took the prophet Ezekiel to Babylon and the valuable utensils from the Jerusalem temple. This portion of history is known both from the Bible and the records of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. A cuneiform tablet from Nebuchadnezzar's excavated palace was found and translated in 1955, saying, "In the seventh year, the king assembled his army. He encamped over against the city of the Judeans and conquered it. He took the king prisoner and appointed in his stead a king after his own heart." Forced to live in Babylon as a prisoner king, a trophy of sorts to Babylon's greatness, Jehoiachin oddly shows up twice more in the scripture's records. There is an account of his good treatment, the daily rations given to him, and even an eventual release from prison to live as some sort of official in the royal courts of Nebuchadnezzar's son. Verification of this good treatment was also discovered in Nebuchadnezzar's excavated palace. In a stash of administrative documents, one was translated that named the captive king of the land of Judah, Jehoiachin, and then listed the specific amounts of food given to him daily, as ordered by the king of Babylon.
Isn't that really interesting? I mean, there's small notations in Jeremiah and in another area of the Bible that talk about Jehoiachin in Babylon, and then from Babylon itself, another record of this king.
And that's not from the Bible. That's from outside the Bible.
Yeah, it's a really cool verification of a note in the scriptures.
So here we go again. This is a problem for people who deny the Bible. So and what do archaeologists use when they want to find something in Israel, when they want to find a city in Israel? They read the Bible.
Yeah, it's definitely a source for sure.
They
for
have
sure,
several sure. sources, but yeah. They read the Bible.
Yes.
That's fascinating. It's very, very interesting.
It contains real history.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Listen, on the next program quickly, Ezekiel is seeing things. We're starting with Ezekiel, but what he's seeing is real. And he sees storms come and four creatures. I'm telling you, it is a good one. It's good for everybody talking about UAPs and everything else. Anyway, Janice.
Yes. Take heart. Is what my segment is called today. In this chapter of Lamentations 4, although God's people still experience his judgment, they will soon experience restoration. I'm looking at my points because I don't want to forget anything that I wanted to say. Although the world was created as good, we now live in a world full of evil. The human world is hostile to God. Now, Jesus told us that we will have many trials and sorrows. Remember that in John 16, verse 33? But then he says, take heart or be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, Jesus says. Regardless of the rebellion and hostility toward God, he loves the world. And Jesus died to take away the sin of the world and did not stay dead. 3 days later, he rose in the flesh, and that same resurrection power gives us, who follow the Lord Jesus Christ, eternal life. We are called into the world to bring the message of God's love, but we will experience conflict, just like Jesus told us, because the world will be hostile to our message. But be encouraged, take heart. We need to get the message out there. We need to be the salt and the light of this world. We need to be the encouragers. We need to be the ones who can show people where the bread of life is, where the living water is, and that's Jesus Christ. We have passed by one of my favorite portions of scripture. So I'm going to go backwards a little bit, back into Lamentations. There you go. There's a new word for Lamentations.
Lament. Lamentation.
We should laminate that into our hearts.
Preserve that,
right? Mm-hmm. But it is Lamentations. It's one of my favorite verses that I quote to the Lord all the time, pretty much every morning when I spend time with the Lord. And it's Lamentations chapter 3, starting at verse 22. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Think about that. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. Because you see, when we do that, when we trust and hope in the Lord, when we understand what we just read, that because of his mercies we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not, we can be still and be patient and know that he is God. He gives us that peace. So the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. What an amazing portion of scripture, Rod, written most likely by Jeremiah after he has seen so much devastation, so much destruction.
As a lament.
And yet, these verses of encouragement and of hope and where to put our trust and our faith, knowing that no matter what happens in this world, no matter what happens in this life, when Jesus says, take heart, he knows the trials. He knows the things that we will face. So if you're feeling like you're in a place where you feel like you're being crushed, call upon the name of the Lord, hope in him, wait patiently. You're not consumed. His mercies are new every morning. Great is God's faithfulness.
I want to remind you that 3:30 Eastern time is the time on Wednesdays, 3:30 Wednesdays. That's when we have our midweek service called Things Above. Join me as we preach and teach a little bit. Then we take your prayers afterwards. It's very, very important. That's Things Above Wednesday at 3:30. Join me on Facebook, YouTube, and Rumble and our website. Father, I pray today, all of us pray, that you would bring Jesus Christ close to us and help us. We ask for your forgiveness. We need you today. Thank you, Lord. Amen.